Friends, we turn to our second scripture reading. You'll find it in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. We're reading together Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount, coming from chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Let's open our ears and hear Jesus' words to us today. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, speak to us this day. Speak in ways that we might hear anew. Grant to us hearts filled with peace and trust. Renew our hearts that we might remember who we are and whose we are. May these words be a reflection of the good news of Jesus Christ, and may he speak them in a way that renews his identity in each of us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Full disclosure, friends, I don't know why you think that we record sermons and we put them online. The reason I think in part we do that is so that the pastor can preach a sermon and listen to it on Monday because the pastor needs to hear it. This is one of those sermons. This is a sermon that may honestly be more for me than it is for you, but I hope it resonates with you. Because today, Jesus has something to say about worry. I think we could fairly put humanity into two basic worry groups. There are some people who have worried in their lives. Worry has a way of rearing up at some of life's most difficult moments. And then there are also those who are worriers, those who live with that constant background noise, that hum of worry in their life. And I wonder, regardless of whether you have worried or you are a worrier, I think we can all relate to what Mark Twain once wrote. I'm an old man. I've known many great troubles, but most of them have never happened. So if Jesus has something to say about worry, then Jesus has something to say to all of us. For some time this week, I've been looking for what the right metaphor for worry is. How do you start teasing out this thing? I teased around the idea of like a maze, that worry, you get to one point, you turn left to see where that might take you, and then you find that there's another right and another left, and then your mind gets caught in the hum, and you never find resolution. Thought about worry as like an old rope that's all knotted up and tied together. You've tried to untie that rope. Worry is just like that. You can never quite, once you get one worry out, there's 14 more to go, and one worry leads to the next. Thought about worry like that dark, stormy night. You know that foreboding night? The storm's not here yet, but everything has gotten quiet. And you wonder, what's coming next? I left my car out. Is there going to be hail? What happens next? Worry is not a new human experience. And I bet we could all generally agree it's unwelcome and unpleasant company. And I don't know how you experience worry, but certainly for me, it feels like a hamster wheel in my head and a vice grip in my stomach. And when I read what Jesus has to say in Matthew, I'm sorry to say he didn't write that to you. That's for me personally. He said that 2,000 years ago, and he was thinking, Michael Gwecki's really going to need to hear this. And I admit to you, I know that most people at the sound of my voice, we're not going to worry about food or clothing today, but that's not going to stop us from worrying. Is my lawn going to be overwatered with all the rain? Are people going to like the side dish I bring to the potluck? Or worse of all, thanks to this sermon, we all might start worrying that we're going to worry today. Worry is an insidious pest. Right when you think that you've squelched one worry, there's always another to take its place. Worry is like an endless treadmill of dark imaginations. Our brains can conceive of all the things that can go wrong today. And sometimes those things are small things, like I forgot to pick up the milk. But other times it's really big things, like the choices our grandkids are making, or that next critical medical test and what it's going to say. And it doesn't really matter in the end whether the worry is big or small, whether you think it will pass or it will just continue on in that hum. Over time, it becomes a heavy, heavy burden on our shoulders. And regardless of how much time we invest and energy we seek to exert to conquer these worries, many of us feel like we can never completely master them. And make no mistake about it, it's dangerous to live with worry that is never resolved. Corrie Ten Boom once wrote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. Worry empties today of its strength." An example I have for you came 14 years ago. My father and I were trying to move Rochelle and my, all of our worldly possessions to Princeton, New Jersey, where we were going to go to school. And so that meant getting a U-Haul, filling it full of stuff, and driving it from the Midwest all the way out there, which I think most of you know me well enough to know that I'm a thoroughgoing city boy, okay? So filling a truck full of your stuff and then pulling a car on a dolly behind it is well outside my skill set. We're going down the interstate, and of course I'm worried about it because all of the stuff that you have is in the back of the moving truck. And of course, not long into the trip, we start blowing tires. There we are, sit beside the road, a kid who's changed a tire in a personal car, but not a moving truck. Well, we get through it, we navigate it, then we pull into a gas station, cars on the dolly in the back, and we can't pull out straight, and we don't know how to back up a trailer. Imagine what it feels like to try for about 30 minutes to inch out. We continued on to our trip. Late at night, we come into West Virginia, a state I have no interest in going back to. We pull off the interstate. It's a dark, dark night. We make a mistake. We pull down a residential street, small East Coast residential neighborhood with cars on both sides. There's only one way out. And here's the gotcha. It's long enough, I can't even see if it does let out. I remember that night. Long story short. Coming to a moment where it wasn't just worry. It wasn't just a what if. For me, that night, it felt like panic. It felt like being overwhelmed. It felt like we had lost control. My father just recently asked me, he said, "Son, Do you remember that trip to New Jersey? I said, yes. If you've experienced worry, if you have felt panicked, if you have felt like you have lost control, you are unlikely to forget it anytime soon. Worry has an interesting connection to whether or not we feel like we are in control of our lives. And Jesus says that explicitly in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. And he goes on to say, you can't serve both God and money. And this is, of course, as true today as it has ever been. Because when we look for control in our lives, we do it in lots of different ways. Some look for power or privilege, and others look for advantageous relationships. But most of us, at some point in our life, have experimented with control through money. Because money gives us that illusion of control. It makes us feel like we have a shortcut to controlling and calling the shots in our lives. But Jesus makes it clear, you can't serve two masters. And eventually, after enough time and energy, we have to wrestle with who we trust is in control of our lives. Is it God? Or is it ourselves? And one of the easiest and quickest metrics to know if it is ourselves who we're trusting is whether or not we are worrying. Because worry gives us the illusion of control. It tricks us into forgetting that our loving Heavenly Father doesn't have any worry because he is in perfect control. If you know about worry, then you know something about how tempting it is to think through things just one more time. Just one more trip on the treadmill. Well, what if this happens? Sure. But then what if this happens? And what if? What if? Jesus asks a different question. He doesn't ask, what if? He asks, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And then he cuts to the heart of it. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Does a single one of us think that we are more in control of our lives than our Heavenly Father? Do we really believe that ceaseless worries will lead to a better outcome than if we just entrust it to the hands of God? Of course not. But in the darkness of the maze, in the heart of the storm, worry tricks us into believing that we have to do it ourselves. And friends, it should be said at some point in a sermon like this, if you're at the height of worry, if worry is getting in the way of living, find a counselor. Talk with someone who can help you through that journey. But for everyone who experiences worry, worry makes us feel like it gives us a sense of control. And so while we can't make the sun rise in the morning, at least we can worry about it. But why worry about the sun rising when you have direct access to the God who does make that sun rise? Why worry about tomorrow when we are sons and daughters of the God of eternity? To all who know something of worry, remember who you belong to. Remember that your God knows your every need. Worry doesn't give you any more control of your life. It steals from us an opportunity to live lives of joy and freedom in the trust of God. If you have a history of worry, it might feel like a fantasy to you that you could live a day without a constant hum of worry in the background. But in Jesus Christ, that isn't a fantasy. Peace comes with trust, and trust comes when we accept and are renewed in our identities in Jesus Christ, which for some of us requires taking just the first step, not asking you to climb the mountain of worry to find peace over its peak today. I'm asking you to consider, what is the first step? And for some of us, the first step might just be today, this week even, changing exactly what we read and what we watch and that which we put in our information diet. Last week, I read the American Psychological Association conducted a survey. They found that 70% of the American population self-identify as being worried about the future. 70%. And you know the most frequently cited cause for that worry? News outlets. What we read, what we watch, what we see. Let me put it simply. If your plan is to go on a weight loss diet, I would highly recommend your first meal eating out is not the buffet. If your hope is to live a life of trust, a life of peace in Jesus Christ, I submit to you, going to the global buffet of all that is wrong in the world may not be the first place to turn. That what we read and what we see and what we consume, that these things matter in how we feel. And they get in the way of us following Jesus Christ and believing that he is in control in our lives. If you're worried about our nation, consider replacing that news hour with a prayer hour. If you're worried about your grandchildren, consider turning off the social media app and call them to talk with them. If you're worried about your health and your relationships and your house or your money, sit down with your Bible and open to the book of Mark and just start reading this week. The cure for worry isn't trying to worry less, it is practicing faith more. Martin Luther once summarized this entire sermon. I'm sorry, I'm not Martin Luther, so I can't do that. Martin Luther wrote, "Pray and let God worry." To pray doesn't just mean to speak to God. It means to live in God. It means to spend time with him, to learn to trust him, to discover who you are in him, for your identity to be changed. Because no man, no woman or child will add a single hour to their life by worrying. In fact, we steal entire years from ourselves in worry of all kinds. Jesus was exactly right. Jesus always is. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot be in total control of our lives and also allow God to be in control of our lives. We can't trust worry and trust God at the same time. We'll either be devoted to one or the other. So if your days are filled with worry and your heart is heavy, then this morning is an invitation to enter deeper into your relationship with God. Trust him with your life and trust him with your future. Worry melts away in the warm fire of God's love. Worry cannot thrive in the hearts of the children who remember that God is their loving father. So do not worry. Break out of worry's dark maze, untangle the knots of anxiety, stand strong amidst the storm of worry in our midst. Remember that you are a beloved child of God. And in his hands, your yesterday and your today and your tomorrow will always be secure. Jesus said it best, and so it is in his words, I will leave you. Seek first God and his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Amen.